Which one should
it be?
I give it to Ramananda Swami. Chaitanya has it. Chaitanya has it.
Ah, so you've got it on the sentiment.
The difficulty is, if I wrote a receipt, Mr. Manischewitz would not be able to get a tax deduction because our...
He's gone.
But we are International Society for Krishna Consciousness of Philadelphia. We're a separate corporation.
Ah.
So and we are not credited with the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, for tax deduction.
You are not?
No. We are waiting on some legal action.
So we can send the check there.
Yeah, the check is not the problem.
That's
right. It's the receipt that's the problem. So...
But we can receive there, in Los Angeles?
No, he's also, they're not tax exempt. Only Washington, D.C. is.
Oh.
So the president of Washington, D.C. is here, so he can write the receipt.
That's...
And they're just going to mail the check to him.
Right here. To
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you.
I have several questions that I would like to raise. I have a long-standing interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this I know is very important to you and to the Chaitanya tradition.
You have seen all the parts published.
There was.
Which canto you have read?
I'm not thinking so much of the specific canto as the Srimad Bhagavatam as a whole. Is that for you, as you see it, more important than Bhagavad Gita?
Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So you would see the two related to each other.
Yes. If one can understand Bhagavad Gita, then he becomes a bona fide student of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Oh.
Because in the you have read Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
The Bhagavad Gita, last instruction is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Saranam. You give up all kinds of occupation and just surrender. If one can take it very seriously, understand, then he can enter into the study of Bhagavata. The Bhagavata begins from the point where Krishna left Bhagavad Gita. So he advised that you surrender to me, and Bhagavad began Sattam Param Bhima. I am worshipping the Supreme Truth. And next verse is Dhamma Prajita Kaitava. All cheating type of religious system is rejected. This is rather revolting. Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja, give up all types of religious system, just surrender to me. And from that point, Bhagavad begins, all cheating type of religious system is rejected. Yes. It is meant for the Paramahansa. Paramahansa, those who are envious, for them is not love. So any materialistic person is envious. It is not meant for the materialistic person. Those who are spiritually advanced, one who has understood that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, my direct connection is with God, therefore my only business is to serve God.
So
So one who has come to this conclusion, he is called Paramhamsa. Hamsa means swan. Swan, it has got a quality that if you give the swan to drink milk mixed with water, she will drink the milk and reject the water. She has got the capacity. So, Paramhamsa means one who has taken the essence of the existence, absolute truth, he is called Paramhamsa.
So you would see the Bhagavad Gita then as accessible to a wide range of people at an elementary level or a beginning level, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam would be for more advanced people.
Not only advanced, well, completely advanced. Because so long one will be stay on the material platform, he will be envious of other persons. Animal problem. Dog does not like another dog is coming. So unless one is spiritually realized, the dog mentality will remain there. It is said, Nasu Munidjasa Matamana Bhinnam. Even amongst the topmost thinkers, if he does not refute other thinkers, he is not a good thinker. That envious. He will not be established a good thinker if he cannot, if a scientist, if he cannot refute the previous scientist, he is not a scientist. This is material. Everyone is envious of the other. So, Bhagavat meant for who is no more envious. Simply loving.
Why is that more necessary for Srimad Bhagavatam than for Bhagavad Gita?
One Bhagavatam, I tell you, this is it. Counterpart, yeah? It's like when you have passed the school examination, then next you admit yourself for degree or graduate degree. Similarly, Bhagavat is the end of education.
And it's...
Everyone is progressing. When one comes to Srimad Bhagavatam and understands it, then his education is complete.
Then would it be dangerous for someone who is not at that level to study Srimad Bhagavatam? Or would they simply not understand it?
Dangerous means if one is not completely educated of self-realization, he has the risk of degradation.
He has what?
The risk of degradation. Now I have got human form of body, I may degrade to animal. Because transmigration of the soul. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, tatha dehantara prapti. After death one gets another body. Now what kind of body? That depends on his work. Urdhva gacchanti sattvasva. If he has done very nicely, in goodness, then he will be promoted to the higher planetary system. And if he has not done anything nice, then he will remain here or he will be degraded to the lower planet.
And how does that relate to the question of studying Srimad Bhagavatam?
Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, if one realizes properly, then he gets promotion back to home, back to Lord. He is no more a person to live in this material world. Material world means ups and downs. Ups and downs. And spiritual world means steady life of knowledge and bliss.
But if one were to study, read Srimad Bhagavatam, who was not ready for this, not prepared for it, this might throw them into confusion then, or this would be,
no.
be bad for them? Or would they simply not learn from it?
No. As I told you, our only business is to know the absolute truth. If you do not try for this, then we remain animals. Animal cannot know the absolute truth. So to remain animal means varieties of life. Sometimes cat, sometimes dog, sometimes demigod, sometimes this, sometimes that. Sometimes American, sometimes something else. This is God. Buddha, Buddha, Praliyate. In this life we are living, we are making the next body. So, if we work nicely, the next body may be in the higher planetary system or above this material world, in the spiritual world.
And the way to progress then is to take to study to learn these things in order, in the proper order.
Yeah.
I remember when I first met Brahmananda in New York. I came there initially in part to because I had been studying Bhagavatam. And I wanted to talk to people in the temple about Srimad Bhagavatam. And they said, what is this? we've heard Swamiji speak of this, but we don't know it. A few years later, you were all sitting around reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. You did not begin to teach Srimad Bhagavatam when you first came to the U.S.?
No, I taught Bhagavad Gita first. Uh-huh. Then
Bhagavad. So you prepared them with,
oh, yes,
Bhagavad Gita and then Srimad Bhagavatam.
You have seen yesterday's procession?
I didn't get to the one yesterday, no.
So, unless we are prepared, ground one, it is not possible.
A related question, which is a practical question also. I am collecting material for a kind of source book of readings in Hinduism. Contemporary as well as classical, and would like to include in these readings some of the things that you have written. Of the things that you have written, what do you consider most important?
Prema Pumat Maha. The most important thing is how to love God.
Where of the things that you have written would that come?
Uh-huh.
Where in the things that you've written, where would that message come through most clearly?
In Vedanta philosophy, the most important.
He's asking which one of your books,
Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Which of your books do you consider to be the most important?
Well, beginning. From the first canto.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Janmardasidaha. We at least step by step. First of all, Bhagavad Gita, study nicely. So we can get the idea of Absolute Truth. And then, by studying Bhagavad Gita, by Srimad Bhagavatam, you understand more and more and more and more.
But is there, any one one of the translations or one of the purports or a series of purports of the things that you've published that you think is more clear, more...
Every slope we are describing word to word. Hmm. So every slope you'll find new idea. There are 18,000.
I would react the same way if anyone asked me a question like that. But in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you do discuss the general.
Oh yes, you have not seen it.
Yes, I've seen it. I'm just wondering what your judgment is on. What if you had to say to someone who was going to collect one small section of your work, what would you want them to collect?
That is stated in few verses. You find out this. Janmasya Vyapavargasya.
This first step?
Yes. Dharmasya Vyapavargasya. Na arthaya upakalpati. The first thing is that people become religious. Just like in your Christian religion, they go to the church to get some material profit. Oh God, give us our deliverance. This is material profit. Similarly, Hindus or Muslims, they become religious, dharma, artha, kam, mokha, the material activities, those who are actually advanced. Those are not even human beings. That their philosophy is different. Those are human beings. Their dharma, religion, and then artha, economic development, and then kama, sense gratification, and then moksha, liberation. These four things are taken as general activities. The Bhagavad says that dharma, religious principle means the ultimate goal is how to become liberated, not artha. Artha means economic development. So, then question may be, if we are not economically developed, then how we shall live? The Bhagavad says that you can make economic development as far as it maintains your body and soul. Not that making whole life economic development and real purpose of life for you. This is foolishness. So dharma, artha, dharma means religious advancement means how to get out of this material condition. Not that I go to temple or church, God give me millions of dollars, families and that. This is not true. It is good that one has gone to God to ask some help. That much credit is there. Huh? You have found out the verse? Dharmasya hi apavargasya.
Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartavartaya kopate nartasya dharakantasya kamalabhaya hi smita. All occupational engagements, dharmas, are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, dharma, should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Purport. We have already discussed that pure devotional service of the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of an ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered, and most people are attracted by such allurement or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfy sense gratification. This cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity, followed by material gain, and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Sense gratification is a general way for all sorts of fully occupied men, but in the statement of Sutta Goswami, as per the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows.
People are after material gain. They have no spiritual information in what is spirit, what is the need of spiritual reality. They do not. Therefore, they have been described as murhas, fools and rascals, those who are after material gain.
Do you think then that message is the most important message that you have to convey?
That is the most important message, because you are not this material body. Suppose you have got this heart. If you simply try to maintain this heart, is that very good intelligence without taking care of your person? Similarly, we are spirit soul, and the body is just like dress. So the whole material world is, everyone is engaged to take care of the body. Nobody knows what is spirit soul, what is its need. Nobody. All these educational institutions, they're blind. Andhādhāṁ dhīrupuniyamāna, and the whole system, he is also blind. If a blind man leads another blind man, what is the benefit? No benefit. Therefore, in your country, or every country, it is blind education. No spiritual enlightenment.
What is the solution then? What is the solution? Devotion to God.
First of all, you know what is spirit. Then as soon as you know that you are spirit, then what from the spirit comes? All right, from everything. then becomes the question of God. And then we understand what is our relationship with God. And then if we act according to that, then it is perfect life.
So that you would see the Gita then as a guide to understanding.
Yes.
In the sense that it starts in chapter 2 with the question of what is Atman.
In chapter 2 it is said, Arjuna was lamenting that I shall fight and the other party, they are my brother, so I'll be sinful. So many problems will come. You are thinking of that. So Krishna first gave him lesson that why you are thinking on the bodily concept of that. You are not God. Your spirit is soul. And then he gave spiritual education.
So you must start with what the Gita calls Sankhya Yoga then. But go on. And go on to Bhakti Yoga.
Bhakti Yoga he said last. Sarvadharman, Paritasya, Mami, Dhanasana. People are not prepared to take this sublime lesson immediately. Then he has to go step by step. So that is the system of knowledge.
Are there other ways besides Krishna consciousness to reach that same goal?
No.
Or is that the only goal?
There is only. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyanama, if you want to know God and your relationship with God, then only through bhakti, no other. There is stated in Bhaktya Mahamabhijanati Javan Jastami Tattva. Otherwise, you never hear.
But if the highest reality is Purushottama, and Purushottama is manifested in many different ways in the world, can people come to Purushottama through various paths?
Various paths means bhakti is the only path. Now, all other paths, they must come to bhakti. Without bhakti, there is no possibility.
But must bhakti be directed to Krishna only?
Because Krishna is Bhagavan. Bhakti means our transaction with Bhagavan. But Krishna is Bhagavan, Swayam. So original Bhagavan is Krishna.
What about those who would worship Rama?
Rama is Krishna.
Rama is Krishna.
Another form of Krishna. Ramadi Mutti Sukala Niyamena Tishtan.
What about those who would worship Shiva?
Shiva is just like milk and sugar. The sugar is milk, but it is not milk.
In another form, then.
Yeah.
So,
he will not derive the benefit of milk from sugar.
But do you get benefits?
Benefits there must be.
Benefits there are, but yeah. Not the same.
Yeah. Lord Shiva means you get material opulence, but not salvation.
So you would see Shiva as more related to material?
Yeah.
there is a passage in Srimad Bhagavatam, I forget where Vishnu is asked, why is it that the followers of the ascetic Shiva are all wealthy and prosperous people? Where the followers of you who are the Lord of the universe are all poor. Is that the way you would see it then, that those who follow Shiva are after more material gain?
More material gain means to become more implicated.
More what?
Implicated. Our problem is birth and death, old age and new age. But we are taking serious about the birth, death, old age and disease. For them, the liberation, the ultimate liberation. That is for oneself to the spiritual world.
So you see a clear difference then between those who follow the Vaishnava tradition, which is less worldly, more spiritual.
That is the ultimate goal of life. That is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nati vidu sartha gatin ni Vishnu. People do not know what is the self-interest. The self-interest is to approach Vishnu.
What about Krishna?
Krishna is Vishnu.
What about Christians?
Krishna, no. Christian also, that is nice. Giving instruction to go back to God, it is not. What is the ultimate goal of Christianity? What do they desire?
Hard to answer.
Huh?
There's no clear single goal.
Then, now what is the goal? Single or plural, doesn't matter.
Well, some Christians would say the vision of God, the ultimate goal is to be
that
with
is
God.
That is the goal, realize God. Not only Christian, any religion. That is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pungsang paro dharma jato bhakti adhokar. There are many different types of religious system, but that system is first class, which directly leads one to understand what is God and how to love it. That is particular.
So the question in one sense is not whether it's Christian or Shaivite or Vaishnavite, but whether it is directed to a knowledge of God, a devotion to God,
that is
or
question.
Not.
That is question.
But you would feel that there, what it is easier to reach that goal by worshipping Krishna?
Yeah. Krishna is the ultimate goal.
But is it easier or better to be a devotee of Krishna?
Yeah.
A Krishna bhakta than to be a Christian?
Anything today? Genuine is easier. Anything hodgepodge, that is not easy. So we don't recommend hodgepodge.
So the advantage then, or the greater value, is that it is focused and clear, rather than a hodgepodge, where the goal and the activities are not clear.
The hodgepodge has still the whole world, there are so many pseudo-religious systems. People are misled.
So that the truth may be there somewhere.
Truth is everywhere.
But you can't find it.
It's like there is butter in the milk, but the milk is not butter. You churn it, and then the butter will be. Similarly, in every real system, on every milk there is butter. But churning the milk and giving direct delivery of butter, that is the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita.
And it's more clear there, you would say, than it is in any other tradition.
Yes. Now, God, now ask any religious sister, what is God? She's going to say, what is God? They cannot explain. And we are saying, here is God, Krishna. So which is better? If you are searched after gold and you do not know what is gold, and if some authorized friend is here is gold, you tell it. That is easy.
So the strength and the value is in knowing.
Oh yes.
Knowing what
that is the only business of human being. To know the absolute truth, God. That is the only business. Otherwise what is the difference between cats and dogs and human beings? They do not care to know what is God. See, if human being also in the same status doesn't care to know what is God, then what is the difference between dogs and human beings?
See, various people read your writings, your commentaries, and they react to them sometimes with reservation because they see your writings as dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
They see your writings, some people see your writings as dogmatic.
Oh, he is dogmatic.
They say he is dogmatic, okay. Do you feel that you are dogmatic?
If you find out any passage in my book, dogmatic, then you say dogmatic. Any page you open, where is dogmatic?
Well, dogmatic, to call someone else dogmatic means to start with that you don't agree with what they're saying. In the sense, if I agree with you, and
you have to agree. Hey, you open any passage of my book.
Well, some people would say to insist that that Krishna is the only way.
Only thing that God is one. That you have to accept. God cannot be many. God has got competitor, then he is not God.
Okay.
If you don't admit Krishna is the only God, then you present who is only God. You see me? Either you have to learn from me or I have to learn from you.
So,
if you do not know what is God, you cannot say Krishna is not God. As soon as you say Krishna is not God, that means you must know what is God. You present. But if you cannot present, you say, no, I do not know God, then you cannot say Krishna is not God.
Right. So
they are dogmatic. Dogmatically they are saying Krishna is not God. He does not know God. And he says Krishna is not God. So what is this nonsense? You do not know God. How you can say Krishna is not God?
No, I agree with you. I'm just I want to get. if we're dogmatic, we're on the same side.
No, we are not dogmatic. Those people who are talking us as dogmatic, he is dogmatic. He does not know God. And when God is presented before him, he says, no, he is not God. That is dogmatic.
Would you, do you feel that those who have genuine religious spiritual understanding would not have that kind of argument?
I do not say in the Bhagavad Gita it is said that find out is God. Namang Viskitunam Mura Prabhupante Naradama Maya Pavitabhyana Asuri Bhavama Sitaha. Find out. Sanchal.
Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me.
As soon as one denies Krishna is not God, then he comes within those categories. Miscreant, rascal, lowest of the mankind, his knowledge is taken away by Maya, and he is a demon.
That's a strong statement.
Krishna is God. If he does not know, then he must be amongst this group.
What if someone says Shiva is God?
He may say, but Shastra doesn't say.
So you
say, like in the Bhagavad Gita, is why? Makta paradaram dhanna kinchidasti dhananjaya. Nobody or no principle is greater than me. Then how Shiva can be God? God is great. Here the great says, there is no more greater principle than me. Then who can be God? People say, no, God is great. Krishna says, matta paradaram jnanya. Not only he said, but he is confirmed by great authorities. Like Ramanujaja, Madhvacharya, Vishnuchani, all the big acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bears their authority. Krishna full of all. So how you can deny?
You refer to Ramanujaja as an important person. Where does he fit into your the Chaitanya tradition? He's accepted as an authority. The Sri Bhasha is studied and accepted.
Ramanujaja has written comment on Bhagavad Gita. You know that? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya philosophy is discussed.
So you would see no basic difference between Ramanuja's position and...
There cannot be difference. Because both of them are Vaishnava. So this is the common point, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Ramanujaja is preaching Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So where is the difference?
No, I don't see a difference. But
people know it, isn't it?
Yeah.
things equal to the same thing are equal to one another.
What about certain other traditions? Jnanadev, Tukaram, some of the poet saints of Maharashtra.
Tukaram accepted Vishnu as the Supreme. He accepted the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his guru. So there is no difference between Tukaram and Chaitanya.
So Tukaram, you would say, is teaching the same thing as Chaitanya?
Yes. Sankirtan. And Krishna is teaching the same thing. Satatam kītāntam vāṁ yatantaśca jīvam prada.
So by saying that that the Gaudiya Vaishnavism is and Chaitanya are the central way, you are not excluding. You're not excluding the Pandharapur tradition of Tukaram, Ram Vitoba, Vitala. You're not excluding the Alvars and Ramanuja. But you're saying all of these groups.
Tukaram accepts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his guru. Then they're very good.
So that Lord Vitoba and Krishna
is the
same. And
Vitoba means Vishnu. They call Vitoba. Language.
And the Alvars, do you... The Alvars of Tamil Nadu.
Alvars.
Alvars.
Yes. That is also.
You would accept their teachings also?
Oh, yes.
So the real question then is Vaishnavas and others. the central
Vaishnava thing, and non-Vaishnava.
Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. So that it's not a question of sectarian differences within Vaishnavism, but rather whether one accepts the Vaishnava tradition and the Vaishnava teaching, or whether one does not accept it.
The actual difference is personalist and impersonalist.
And you would see the worshippers of Shiva as impersonalists?
Impersonalist.
You would see all of them.
The Shankaracharya.
Shankaracharya, I know he is.
Yes. Shankaracharya's theory is that ultimately the absolute truth is impersonal. And one can imagine a personal form for the benefit of the worshipper.
But there are some worshippers of Shiva who would be personalists.
No,
you would deny
they,
that.
They are all impersonalists. There are panchupasana. Panchupasana means the ultimate absolute truth is impersonal, and Shankaracharya recommended that you cannot worship the impersonal, so you conceive a personal form. So that he recommended 5. The sun god, Lord Shiva, Durga, and Ganesh, and Vishnu.
Panchayatma.
But after you have become perfect, then you merge into the impersonal. That is Shankara.
And you would see all worshippers of Shiva as following basically that, mm-hmm. that view.
Yeah. No, there are devotees just like we offer all respect to Lord Shiva. We consider Shiva as the best of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu. And we have got sampradaya from Shiva. He is considered one of the authority of Vaishnavism.
So you would include...
Our conception of Shiva is different.
Where would Basavana fit in?
Eh?
Where would you place Basavana in relation
to
Basavana? Lingayat. Lingayat teacher. Shaivite.
He's impersonal.
You would say impersonal.
Oh, yes. They say Sivoham. I am Sivoham. They impersonal. If you are Shiva, then why are you worshipping Shiva? That is impersonal.
So any position which would deny the difference between the devotee and God, you would see
is impersonal. The impersonal theory that I am now devotee, as soon as I become perfect, I become one. That is the thing. Then there is no more difference. In the preliminary stage, when I am not perfect, I am worshipping some imaginary form of God. But when I become perfect, there is no need of worshipping, I become one with you. This is impossible. Now, actually, the Supreme has no form, so they recommend whichever form you like to achieve, you can select out of this five. But their destination is the same. So somebody likes, I worship Shiva, somebody says, I worship Ganesh. Somebody says, I worship Durga and Surya, or somebody says, I worship Bhishma.
Oh.
So this Vaishnava is impersonal. In fact, among smart Brahmins, there are also some of them Vaishnava, but they are impersonal.
So you would say that those smartest say, and I know smarter Brahmins who are worshippers of Vishnu. You would say they still are impersonalists in some ultimate sense, because at some point they would deny.
No, not it is very difficult to pick them out. Most of the so-called Vaishnavas, they're in person.
Some, I suspect, are more Vaishnavas than they are smartest.
Satatam kirtan dharma.
Satatam kirtayanto mam yatam tascha dridhavrataha namasyam tascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate
always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion.
But which it is not that I am worshipping now, and when I am perfect, I become one.
No.
That is impossible.
But someone who sees devotion as not just a state.
Well, there is everything one. No devotee, no devotion, and no person. Everything becomes one.
So that would then be the deciding test, as it were, of whether one were a serious devotee or not.
Devotee means
serious
devotee.
Not only that one is devoted, not only that one is devoted now, but that one sees the the goal as perpetual devotion.
Nitya yukta. Nitya yukta means perpetual. If a devotee is to merge into the existence of the Lord, then why this word is used? Nitya yukta. Upasana. Not only nitya yukta, upasana. Upasana means he worships. As soon as the word is he worships, that means the worshipable and the mode of worship and the worshipper must be there. So that is indicated nitya yukta, perpetual. But the mayavadis are these impersonalists, and they think that it is temporary. I am devotee, temporary. As soon as I become perfect, I become one.
So that you would see then, in terms of some kind of theological structure, you would see the Purushottama as always
Uttama means the best.
Always superior.
Yes.
Always.
That is the word, Purushottam. Purushottam means supreme or superior. So there must be inferior, otherwise, how is superior? Is it not? As soon as he is the superior professor or the, what is called? Junior, a senior. As soon as for senior, there must be junior. Without junior, there is no question of senior.
So that the Purushottama always stands beyond, always is other in addition to being also everything that there is.
Unless he is eternally there, then how the devotee will eternally nitya yukta upasana? Whom to worship? Nitya yukta upasana. Unless Purushottam is everlasting Purushottam, then why is the question of worship everlasting? So the Mahavadis, they do not understand.
Well, do you equate then the impersonalists and the Mahavadis? Are they the same?
Almost the same.
At some point, I guess they would have to be almost.
At
some point, I suppose they would almost have to be, because to be an impersonalist you would have to deny the ultimate reality of phenomena, which would make you a Mayavada.
They accept this form of God as Maya. Therefore, we call them Mayavadi.
Any form of God. Including the Purusha. So that your central insistence, or certainly one of your central insistences, would be that the ultimate reality is personal, that it is known as Vishnu, possessing all qualities.
Bhaganti tattatta vidastatyam yadgyanam adhyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti. The human life is meant for understanding the tattva. Then the question will be, what is that tattva or ultimate truth? And that is this kind. Tattva is realized in three phases. Brahma, impersonal Brahma, Paramatma, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Vedanti tat tat vidas tat vam
yam. So the mistake of the impersonalist then is to identify the complete reality with Brahman, which is only one aspect of the complete reality.
Just like finger. Finger is one of the items of the whole body. You can say, yes, the finger is my body. But the finger is not the whole body. Similarly, everything is part and parcel of the whole. But that does not mean that everything is whole.
And these realities are in a hierarchy. That is, in the sense that Brahman, Paramatman,
Brahma everything. Brahma, you are Brahma, I am Brahma. Eternally Brahma. Sarvamidam khalu Brahma. Because it is the manifestation of Brahma. Brahma's energy. Just like here in this room, daytime there is sun. But sun is 93 miles out and 93 million miles. But wherever there is some sign, he can say, here is sun.
So that the problem is not the identification of everything with Brahma, which is correct, but the failure to realize that there is the Paramatma, or the Purushottama, which is beyond this.
It's like, I have got so many branches, 100 branches. So, everyone knows that I am everything. But that is just when I am present everywhere. My energy is working. This tape, hundreds of thousands of tapes record. You record my speech, and they will speak the same thing that I am speaking, but I am not there.
that is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam sattvam javatam bhaktam mutena. Vatshani sarvabhuntani naham sisu avutsu. Everything is God, but God is not everything. He is simultaneously one and different. We therefore say that everything is God, but not that everything is, not that God is everywhere. But because everything is God, everything, with everything you can realize God.
So that the
Maya tattvam idam sarvam jagara bhakta murtinam matstani sarva bhutani nacham pitesvavashtita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All things are in me, but I am not in them.
So the failure is a failure to go beyond. The failure is a failure to go beyond, to realize beyond that that level of identity. That there is a Lord who is
the Mayavadi philosophy is defective. They say if everything is God, then why is the Lord separate existence? Very good. That is material here. If you take a big paper and make it into small pieces and throw it, then the big paper is lost. The Mahavadi thinks like that if everything is Brahma, Brahma is distributed, then where is why you call the Supreme Lord? They think that Brahma being distributed is finished. And this is Maya. He does not know the potency of God. And that is stated in the Upanishad. Ishavasyam sarvam. Purnavidam, Purnavadam, Purnasunnamudachya. Purnasya Purnavadaya, Purnameva Abhishya. In the material sense, 1 minus 1 is equal to 0. In the spiritual world, Purnasya Purnavadaya. The one is Purna, and if you take the whole one, it's still one. And that they cannot understand, the poor brain. They think material is the one is complete, and if one is taken away, then it becomes zero. 1 minus 1 equals 0. And Upanishad says, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vasishyate. If from the complete you take the complete, it still becomes. That is not. That is not. We say, why complete is complete already? Why complete can maybe be zero? No.
Complete so that is zero. God can create everything out of himself.
Yes.
And still be complete as he was.
You can see one material example, there is sun. And millions and trillions of years It is distributed in sunshine and heat, but still it is good. If it is possible materially, what about discipline loss? Millions of years, the degree of temperature of the sunshine was the same as it is now. If it is materially so possible, how much it is possible to prepare?
Is that it's difficult for people outside the Krishna consciousness group to see what the purpose of the movement is.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for people outside the Society of Krishna Consciousness to see what the purpose is. How would you understand the purpose? Simply to make God known. How would you?
Our purpose is how to become happy. Everyone is studying how to become happy. If somebody is thinking that if I can get money, then I am. And somebody is thinking that if we become one with the Supreme, then I am. And somebody thinks that if I can get material power, then I am. So those who are thinking in terms of money, they are kurmi. And those who are thinking in terms of becoming one, they are gyani. And those who are thinking in terms of getting material power, they are yogi. But the bhakta, they don't want any such perception. They, bhakti, and let me watch this. Therefore, he has got everything. And they are all in one. Bhakta is satisfied simply by worshipping the Lord. And all others, Kurmis, Gyanis, Yogis, they want from it. So they cannot be happy. So if happiness is my aim, then I must be done from it. Otherwise there is no happiness. You are all within want. Somebody is in want of money, somebody is in want of becoming one, will be supreme. And somebody wants to show some jewelry, mysticism. So they want them. And a devotee, he does not all these things. He wants to start to show them. No demand. And he starts Krishna without any motive. Or he could be up to this. That is it.
So that what you were doing is simply showing people how to be happy.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you. That is the real one. How to become happy.
It's remarkable how complicated simple things get.
The example is also very simple. It's like a child is crying and somebody is offering some milk, somebody is offering something, but he still cried, you know, could not find any cause. Then, when the child goes to the mother's lap, immediately, he understands immediately, now I am on the lap of my mother, that everything is there. Everyone is hankering after making the profit, this way, that way, this way. But when one becomes, gets that supreme thing, then he thinks, no, I don't want it. That is it. Unhappiness due to want. So the Kurmis, Jnanis, Yogis, they are always in want. They want something. Bhaktas are also sometimes in want. They want Krishna. And in the absence of Krishna, they are very unhappy. But that unhappiness is greater than happy.
The gopis at Vrindavan.
Yes. That is greater than happy. And the Mahavadi told me again, they cannot understand. They will say, your gopis are also crying for Krishna, for want of Krishna. But that do not know that this want is different.
So you have been extremely generous with your time and your wisdom.
So kindly join us. And that was the whole human society, Gandhi.
Well, I have been a friend for many years now. I suspect sometimes that I may end up as a sannyasi, along your line at some point.
Sannyas, that doesn't mean change of dress. Sannyas means everything for Krishna. That is true.
What is your view of Sri Aurobindo? Or should I have left well enough alone? He is not an impersonalist. He's not a Mayavadi.
He says that above the Mayavadi, there is something else, super. There is bhakti. He's aiming at bhakti. But he could not understand because he did not take any education from realized person. He wanted to realize himself. That is the difference.
So one who you would see his efforts transcend, I suppose.
Yes. That effort will go on for life after life. Then, when his effort will be successful, he will realize Krishna. Vasudeva Karuna, Kamahatma, Bhavanam Janma.
So that his problem was the effort to attempt to
do this on his own.
Yes.
Without going through
the Guru.
The Guru.
Therefore, it will take time. It's like a man searching after the right path, but he does not care to ask anybody. He's loitering in the forest.
You, I'm sure you're familiar with his essays on the Gita.
Yeah, Divine Life.
Which I think are generally quite good. His essays on the Gita themselves. Are there there places there that you would strongly disagree with in his what he says?
No, we disagree with the whole system because he's trying to understand the absolute truth by his own effort. That is not possible.
So you would say then that no matter he may have the right idea, say, but he has not.
He may be a great thoughtful man, but not a realized.
Not realized. I'm sorry I raised the question right at the last minute, but it occurred to me that I was interested in the answer. So, thank you very much.
Your given name is Prasad. Are you staying here?
No, I'm going back to Lancaster this evening. I have tomorrow morning we are getting a group of students together to go to India.
Oh.
I am not going, but we're sending 17 students to India, leaving tomorrow evening.
You can stay at our guest house in Vrindavan.
Could I pass on to people an invitation from you that would be possible?
Yes.
Because I know there are students in the group who would like to visit Vrindavan, so you I think talked to some students perhaps this spring when you were there. I know that the senior student with the group is very interested in getting to Vrindavan.
We have a nice facility here.
Are you very close to New Delhi? It's really something in New Delhi. It's very easy to be done.
That's true. They're going to be in Delhi for a week or so. It would be great if they could get out to Vrindavan just for a day, maybe, and come back later when they have more time. So would they have to make preliminary arrangements, or could they, is there some way they could make arrangements from Delhi to do that?
I think afterwards we can discuss it.
Okay, yeah. So,
thank you very much.